I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
After realizing my life as a hater was turning me into a resentful jerk, I decided to stop hating and start studying. And I don't just mean studying my enemies' Instagram accounts, though I still go down the tagged photo rabbit hole occasionally. I started paying closer attention to the YouTubers, actors, and creators whom I envied and admired, watching what they were doing and what I wasn't. They took improv classes. They worked out. So I upped the gym time, which had the bonus of helping with my anxiety, got new headshots, took a hosting class, and stopped going out as much. Every day I asked myself, how do I get the things in my career that I want but don't have? What do I do to get them? But channeling the green-eyed monster into productivity is especially difficult when there are temptations every time you open your computer. There's that saying, if you have haters, then you're doing something right. But I disagree. At this point, if you have haters, you're doing anything. I have a feeling that the caveman who discovered fire had a few cave folks rolling their eyes while happily huddled by the blaze.
Come on!
You can get a job, any job, and the sassiest member of your extended family will comment on your celebratory Facebook post with, I see you, you think you're hot stuff with your little job now. Point is, having haters doesn't mean you're winning. It doesn't mean you're doing something inherently abhorrent either. It just means that you shouldn't put too much stock in them. I know that's easier said than done. Hello, I've literally written a book about it. With all the ways for people to invade your life via inbox, petty jealousies, and snarky comments can feel really personal. But there are always going to be people who don't like you, and you can't be friends with everyone. Whatever you do, someone somewhere is going to disapprove. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Tuesday.
Yes, we are. That's actually a very true statement. The thing for me is that it took a long time to come to that realization, because of my personality. It took a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of disappointment, a lot of putting people on pedestals and then they're not living up to your expectations. You know, a lot of people letting you down when they didn't even know that they were letting you down, because you made some, you know, I made rules up that they didn't even know existed, but I held them to standards that they didn't even know that they had upon them. So a lot of the shit we talk about, I've actually lived through it and experienced it, not online, but, you know, in my personal life, you know. And it's one of those things about the haters I completely agree with. Now, as far as jealousy, that's something that I've, not that I've never dealt with, but that's something that I have the mentality, and I've kind of always had the mentality, that what's for me is for me, what's for you is for you. And that is my philosophy in life. I don't know what you did or what you had to go through or what sacrifices you had to take, what heartache, what pain, what you had to do without to get to where you got to. You know, I don't know. So there's no reason for me to look at you and desire something you have when I might not be made of the same cloth to get to where you are. And the same thing with me. You don't know what I've been through, what, you know, what heartaches and pain ships have came upon me. You just don't know. People just, they see a finished product and they don't really realize what it takes to make the finished product. They just go, oh, it's pretty and I want it, not realizing that, you know, there had to be some foundation, some material, some shifting, some changing, some breaking, some remolding in order to get the pretty shiny object that you see as this person in front of you.
Yeah, that, the book I'm reading right now that I got that excerpt from is Francesca Ramsey's Well, That Escalated Quickly. And that was the thing, like, a lot of it is about, you know, now and internet celebrity and fame and how people react and trolling, harassment, as well as what I really like about the book is she goes over mistakes that she's made, things she's tried to do, and she's pretty honest about her own jealousies and insecurities and stuff, which I think is something that we just don't get that much these days,
because everybody want to put themselves out there as perfect.
Yeah, and I think because that's part of the job. Look at people's Instagram, look at people's, you know, not this is, I'm not even talking about celebrities and stuff, but just people in general. Go to someone's Facebook page, they mostly share, it's like they have a brand, right? You have your people that are like really sad all the time and they kind of always sad about shit or always angry about shit. Mm-hmm. You have your people that are always happy, they kind of always happy about some shit. You have your people that are, you know, always kind of showing like, look at my lifestyle, you know. They're like, people kind of pick the lanes that they want to be. Mm-hmm. And we have adjusted to that so fast in our society that we really start looking at people and going, okay, this is all you are because this is what you've shown me. But that, but we know that that's not true, because we all are online and none of us are just the things that we show people.
Mm-mm.
But yeah, I love this like this chapter that I'm reading, because she talks about the time that she used to go on YouTube and do a show that basically kind of you know, just kind of paraphrasing from the book, but it was pretty critical of girls and critical of Lena Dunham as a person, in which it's just crazy that I'm reading this right now, because this is just shit that I've been thinking for a while now, but it's dope to see other dope people that that have thought about this and come to these conclusions. But mm-hmm. she's talking about how she used to like shit on Lena Dunham like for sport. Mm-hmm. You know, like it got further than just I don't like your show.
Right.
It got to a personal place, it got to some, you know, to like a snarky place, you know, some fat phobic type comments, some, you know,
community off of it.
Yeah. And and she also talked about how she was part of a community that hated on a certain Instagram celebrity at one point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so she talks about how she was shitting on Lena Dunham, and then through a mutual friend she actually ended up going to dinner that was Lena Dunham was at, and ended up sitting next to her.
Wow.
Yeah. And like so she ends up telling Lena Dunham, like, because they had hit it off so well, it had such a good time, because newsflash, nobody's what you see on the internet. Like,
correct.
Not even in their shows, not even in their stupid ass interviews. If they fuck up and make a stupid quote, doesn't make them perfect, doesn't mean they're not terrible when they want to be terrible or any of that, but just you haven't seen the full picture of that person. And literally you might be shitting on somebody that you sit down and talk to them and go, oh, I didn't find them to be that ridiculous. I don't know what I was thinking.
Right. And like a lot of people, it's hard to keep that same energy when that person is actually tangible and you can actually see them and interact with them versus just through a screen.
Yeah, because that's the other thing, you're not gonna keep that same energy in person.
No, you're not.
It doesn't matter, because you walked in the room knowing you didn't fuck with her, or at least you had let people assume and built a name and a brand partially off of not fucking with her.
Right.
But if you're not gonna keep that same energy, then why would you even promote that? But that's something most people don't think about, because they'll never in their lifetime run into these people they talk about.
Right.
But because Francesca's star is rising,
mm-hmm.
she started being in rooms and places that, you know, she may not have seen herself before. And I'll say this about podcasting, a lot of podcasts are like this. They start off and they go hard on celebrities. They talk a lot of shit. They say a lot of things that are racy. They're just trying to get edgy stuff. They're trying to get everybody to listen. And then at some point you hit that little switch where you realize, oh, people are listening.
Yes, they are.
And this shit could get back to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not so far-fetched that one day I'm going to meet, or one of these people are going to find out I'm talking about them and hit me up.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's all that shit you said? You know? And so she felt kind of guilty because they were hitting it off, and told her, like, well, look, I'm not going to lie. I have videos where I've talked shit about you. And Lena Dunham was like, kind of like, and they had talked about at this point, because Fran had been harassed online and stuff, they talked about harassment. Lena Dunham had shown her this before she had revealed all this. She had shown her Twitter mentions, and guess what,
they be lit.
It's the same shit I always tell people on the show. I'm like, y'all keep talking about dragging is educating people.
Mm-mm.
But it's hard to get, even a well-meaning person, it is very hard to get through a deluge of comments when many of the comments are not about educating.
Nope. Bitch, many, whore, rape.
Right. And, you know, and so Lena Dunham's a person that says she was sexually assaulted in college. So you got people saying, I'm going to rape mm-hmm. you. I hope you get raped. Mm-hmm. Stuff like
hope
that.
You die.
And so it's hard for her to, like, somehow filter through that and just get to the well-meaning people that are like, Lena, this is what's problematic about what you said.
Correct.
And so we're talking, you know, and I know people right now listening, mostly black people, are rolling their eyes at this shit, but because they can't picture it happening to somebody they like,
and they couldn't picture it happening to them.
Right. And they only care about it when it happens to somebody they like. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the kind of shit where people will defend Cardi B getting mad that someone says something about her not being a good mother, and they be like, yeah, you should be able to do that, I'm tired of that, black women, blah blah blah. But then it's like, if the same thing happened to somebody you didn't fuck with, it's like, well, they need to get over it, you know. Who gives a fuck, the fake ass tears and shit like that. So she tells her, hey, I've been talking to shit, and you know, and she's like, well, you know, it's okay, you know, people da 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 da, don't worry about it. Later she goes home or whatever, and I guess she finally saw the videos and texted like, oh, so you like hate me, you really don't fuck with me, you got a myriad of videos shitting on me. And it all kind of comes full circle too, because Fran ends up having people that hate her, and they make careers off of hating her, because mm-hmm. she had decoded, and she mm-hmm. was doing all this, like, you know, social justice warrior quote unquote work and stuff. And so, you know, the fucking Gamergate alt-right dude bros hate that shit, yeah, and they start like, right, and they start going in on her. And so anyway, the main point was, it made her think about how she had treated Lena Dunham and the things she had said, and if and the things that had delved into her talking about her body and all this shit. And so she was like, I'm gonna, she issued like an apology kind of on her feed, or like wrote a blog or something expressing like, you know, I met this person, this is the experience I had, it changed the way I'm looking at this shit. And guess what, she got dragged.
Oh yeah.
Cause then all of a sudden it was, oh, here you go. Mm-hmm. So you sat down next to the white woman, and now you trying to get money or what, whatever. Because that's, cause, and this is the thing I talk about, it's one of the reasons I love our community, and I don't really necessarily feel the need to like join into our community. But at the same time, like, I love what we've built.
Mm-hmm.
When you build a fan base around hating somebody, you don't get to switch.
You can't come out and say,
guys, I actually think this is kind of dangerous and bad that we're doing this.
They don't want to hear that shit. Because
the community is built around hate. This isn't a theme that I plan on covering this week on the show or anything, but it's just coming back more and more, because mm-hmm. it's, you know, the same thing that I was talking about, how with the Gina Rodriguez thing, people kind of felt like it's time to party again,
mm-hmm.
and it's about the community. It's not really about the person anymore.
Agreed.
Or the offense, because mm-hmm. no matter how slight the new offense is, we have to go all the way back to, we're dragging her, sis, we doing all over it. And so that's what this made me think about, was, yeah, you build a community in part from people that want to see you drag this woman. And so the second that you go, hey, she's human, and some of the shit I said went too far, no, I don't like support everything that comes out of this woman's mouth, no, this does not mean it's a, I'm not gonna be critical of her in the future, none of this shit, but just, I was taking it to a point where I was going in on her as a human being,
mm-hmm.
in a way that is not, is it, it, it demeans myself. It's not even about you, it's about myself. I have a certain standard I want to hold for myself, and I don't want to, you know, be, I don't want to lower it because I don't like somebody. And yeah, she caught hell for that. So
oh yeah.
But yeah, it was great. It was, I love this book so far.
Yeah, and it shows growth, and that's something that people online don't allow for growth. They don't allow you to grow in front of them, and they don't want you to grow behind the scenes and come back as the person with growth. And then, because a lot of times when you come back, you ignore the fuck out of them, and then they get angry because they like, you're like, I have grown beyond this. I'm not going to waste my time, because at the end of the day, it's all about attention. You know, all about, can I get your attention? And when people want your attention, and me and Roger have dealt with this, not on levels of other people, but when people want your attention, they will do anything necessary. And the more you ignore them, the more you try to live your life, the more chaotic, and the more chaotic their response is. You know, the more shit that they'll throw, they'll make up lies, they'll start rumors, they'll send their trolls at you, and all kinds of shit, just anything for you to quote unquote flinch and look their way. Because the second you look their way, it's like, I got you. And once they got you, all of a sudden you're wasting time and energy and effort with them that you actually could have been doing something positive, building your brand, doing other things, marketing, making money. Because the thing about a lot of this shit, it don't make people money. You don't get a dime of money doing this. It doesn't benefit most people. Very, very few people make a profit doing that.
But it's also the growth too, because there was a time when you know, someone says or does something to us, and I be quick to be like, I gotta clap back, or I have to respond, or I have to, you know, say something to put my side of it out there. And one, a lot of times that's all they wanted.
Correct.
You know, she has another story where she talks about a troll who made 40 some videos about her, talking bad about her, with like production sometimes hour long and shit. And she got inspired by Lindy West and the This American Life episode where Lindy West met her troll and found out this guy was all basically fucked up, and then the troll had a change of heart and realized that why they were doing what they were doing, blah blah blah. So she got inspired by that, thought, okay, I'll do that with my troll. He's gonna be at a VidCon, we're gonna meet, da 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 da. And they met, and he basically just pretended that they became best friends. Like, I apologize, you know, I was in a bad place, I was wrong, blah blah blah, and I'm sorry. And you know, then he made a new video, like, me and Francesca Ramsey, like, we met, we best friends now, everything is cool, so everybody, you know, we could chill out, blah blah blah. Well, the problem with that is, as she's thinking about it, she's like, we're not equals. I never forgave you, really.
And I don't know you.
I don't, like, this is kind of making it seem like we're friends. I'm not your friend. I just asked you to leave me alone.
Right.
And so she said something about it on her old podcast, Last Name Basis, and then it sparked. That dude went and played victim and said she double crossed me. Mm-hmm. She was cool in person. Now she's trying to turn me into the bad guy. I'm the real victim here. And that's the kind of thing, trolls don't really care how they get it.
No, they
don't.
The
only thing they really wanted is your attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just certain things that happen now, and I just don't tell anybody about it.
Yep. Me and you talk about it, it's as far as it goes.
Yeah, sometimes, and you know, there's been a couple things, and I'm not saying this secretively, but there's been a couple things I forgot to tell you about.
Right.
Because, I'm just thinking about one right now off the top of my head, because there's literally just, it's not important.
Mm-mm.
Some of these people are only important in your phone. They're only important on Twitter or in your email. But it's like, if you just don't give a fuck about it, you'll be okay. And like I said, that's a lesson that I learned from what people would probably consider a bad source, but I'm taking positivity from negativity. That's a lesson I learned from, like, Tommy Lawrence, Charlamagne, mm-hmm. Lil Duval. Like, some of these people that go out and just say horrible stuff, you know, Jason Whitlock, and people get extremely upset online about it, and then you see them the next day at work doing nothing, not giving a fuck. And I'm like, why do I have to
clock with no problem?
Yeah, like, why should I give a fuck? You're mad that I said so-and-so is racist? Like, okay, cool, you're mad now, you're acting up, blocked, muted, whatever. Yeah. Like, I don't need to deal with it. And so it's just a cool book to read about how she's gone through some of these things. And you know, as a person that is much more famous than us, you know, mm-hmm. like, she's had millions and millions of YouTube views and all that stuff. It's just kind of cool to be like, oh, okay, you know, I can see where you're coming from, and I can see, you know, how these things, like, kind of relate to everybody. It's not just like, it relates to us because we're content producers, we're very visible on the internet, but mm-hmm. also just as a person. And like I said, some of the things I feel like I don't see that a lot on the internet, when I'm like, but that celebrity's a human, so where's the anger coming from for them, because we don't know them.
Right.
Have you thought about yourself? And to see somebody say, I was jealous of people and I was getting in these communities, I could have become a troll like that, I can kind of relate to this mentality because I was becoming one of these people. To see her admit that, you know, it's kind of dope. And to see her talk about her either mistakes or like growing her footing and stuff, it's cool too. So
yeah, and I think excuse me, for me, when you talking about you look and watch people online, yeah, I actually look and watch people online too, and I pick up good and bad. I've always been like that since I've been a child. I watch people's behavior and actually go, okay, this is good, this is better. But I know for me, I mean, you kind of talked about this, and she's not perfect and no mean, but I always look at the way that Beyonce handles social media and navigates her stardom.
She talks about that in the book too, about, she starts this chapter about that with how Beyonce's super famous, we don't know shit about her,
not a motherfucking thing.
And like, that seems more healthier than the way everyone else is like trying to show everybody every part of their lives. Like, this happens with me too. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You can finish.
I'm sorry about that, but this happens with me too, like where people go, why don't you like cook on Instagram, or why don't you go Instagram live and talk about this, that, and the other, why don't you? And I'm always like, because sometimes I just want to cook. I don't want to be working, you know. I don't want to give my live thoughts about a TV show after it's over. I actually don't want to use the internet for my water cooler with certain things, because you're not my coworkers, you're not my friends and my family, and there is a certain level of like falsehood in these relationships. And I'm not saying everyone's fake, but once you get like cast aside, thrown away by certain people and shit, it's like it wakes you up to like, oh, this isn't always real as it appears to be. So mm-hmm. So you have to be careful with this shit, because mm-hmm. you know, you put your feelings and shit into this, and you, oh, we agree on everything, we're best friends, and then one day somebody's like, you disagree, fuck out of here, you know. So yeah, it just reminded me of all that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say we were talking about Beyonce, but yeah I actually watched that and kind of see how she navigates some things in life. And I know for me, you know, me and you talk privately, and sometimes I'm like, no, you know, or I'm like, it ain't that fucking important, because the thing is, you only have a limited amount of time. And the time that you waste on stupidity and stupid people and arguing online and shit like that is not productive for the average person. It causes stress. It causes anxiety. I've seen it happen. I've seen people that we know, friends and things like that, you know, be like, hey, I had to back up. I had to pull back from being online so much because I realized I used to be getting sad and be getting depressed and shit like that from doing these activities. And I realized there's a whole fucking world outside of this phone and outside of this computer, and friends and family and loved ones that I could actually be doing more productive things with.
Yeah, and there's some well-meaning depressive ass people, and there's also some malicious ass depressing ass people. Like,
agreed.
You have to still be careful and guard your joy, because like, you know, you have to find, especially for me, I have to find that line between empathy and then like creating boundaries, you know, because there are people that'll use you because they see like, oh, you actually care about people, let me find a way into your pocket, let me find a way into your you know, and to get all your attention, let me use your platform, things of this nature. And then when they, and that's really all they see you as, and when they're done with that, when they've suckled at the teat of that shit, they cast you aside, you know. And I've had to be careful about that, because I'm like, oh, I see these patterns. I had to go through it, but now I see it, so I'm more wary. But yeah, man, it was, oh, go ahead.
I'm about to say, yeah, and I know for me, particularly with us, a lot of times we're a unit, but a lot of times people kind of quote unquote look at me as the weakest link between mm-hmm. us. And a lot of times over the years, I've learned that people will quote unquote get to me to get to you instead of just going directly to you. Like, y'all, right. Y'all can talk to Roderick now, but a lot of people would actually use me as a filter. And I'm like, people better realize I am very nice and kind and sweet. And sometimes I might be slow on the uptick on certain things. I might not catch on as quick. But when I do, you know, analyze things and figure things out, a lot of times, depending on the situation, I go harder than Roger do. Like, that's a part of me that most people don't see. Like, I could be very dogmatic, I could be very nasty, and I could be very mean. I just opt not to do that.
Yeah, I just think I think people feel sometimes, certain type of people feel like they have to play an angle mm-hmm. with me because they know I see through bullshit,
right?
You know what I mean? Like, 9 times out of 10, I'm not even reading what you're saying to me. I'm just reading like your energy off of you and the vibe that I'm getting from you, and the, you know. And so I'm polite, I'm nice, I'm cordial, I'm all those things, but you know, I'm also quick to be like, yeah, this is the only amount I'm willing to engage you on, or this is the as far as I'm willing to go. And I think that turns people off, but you know what, it's actually worked out to my favor, you know. And also I think because I live so authentically, we live so authentically, we talk so authentically, it, like, people that are up to shit, people that come through us with subterfuge, people that come through us with some like kind of shady, you know, backgrounds and shit, it they always end up falling away, because at the end of the, you know, we've had people ask us straight up, like, well, how can y'all do this, that, and the other? I'm like, because we're just being ourselves. So there is no,
it's no magic wand, you
know, like it makes me wonder, like, how, what are you pretending to do, you know? So, all right, we got news and stuff coming in. Van Lathan, who is host of the Red Pill podcast, he also people know him as a guy who told Kanye West told Kanye West off when he was in TMZ offices saying slavery is a choice. Mm-hmm. That's Van Lathan. So he apparently got fired from TMZ over an issue with his coworker. He had a disagreement while filming an episode of TMZ Live about a week and a half ago. Although the spat was edited out, the saga continued once the camera stopped rolling. The outlet reports Lathan and Babcock were arguing over politics and things got heated. Yeah, Michael Babcock is the dude's name. Babcock. Sources told Page Six that Van Lathan made it clear there would be trouble if Babcock ever embarrassed him like that again, and was suspended shortly after. He was reportedly fired a few days later. Lathan will also host the Red Pill podcast, seen to confirm the news in a cryptic tweet on Monday night. It's looking like tomorrow is going to suck. We good up there, guy? Okay, cool. Just checking. Yeah, it's kind of interesting, man, because he's a good example of trying to be woke and change things from the inside. But everybody knows the main dude that runs TMZ is a big Trump supporter. And so even when he was there, you know, to push back on Kanye and Candace Owens, it's one of those things where it's like you're fighting an uphill battle from the inside that you can't really change, because the guy with all the power, and look, a business isn't an election. Like, you can't then just vote him out and get a new CEO. Right. So, you know, the guy with all the power is a guy that's out there for Trump. So no matter how good you are at your job, man, you could be one comment or one argument from catching a bad one. And I don't know what was said exactly. Who knows? Maybe he did go over a line to a point where they said, look, you got to go. But just the fact that you work for somebody and that's a thing that they can do to you, it fucking sucks.
Yep. And, you know, it's funny how TMZ don't look shit about TMZ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TMZ be knowing everything and be leaking everything and paying for everything.
Yeah, TMZ edited it out, so I wonder what the argument was, because, right, you know, shout out to TMZ, that we show everything shit wasn't true when it came to this.
Come on.
But like I said, I don't know. It could be something where he went too far, and I don't want to say, I'm not saying he did, but, you know, the assumption would be they're editing it out so they look good, and they really did him wrong. But at the same time, I don't know how heated it got, because TMZ is one of those weird workplaces where they can bring in Kanye West to say slavery was a choice, and they sit up there and nod heads and agree or let it slide because they want to get the viral moment.
Agreed.
And if you're not down with that plan, it's kind of hard. You know, it was weird to me listening to Van Lathan kind of take the NFL to task and talk about Kaepernick and all the stuff in this Marcellus Wiley conversation he had on his podcast, being like, but you work for MAGA. You work for a MAGA dude. Like, you have to realize there's limits to all this shit, you know? Like, so it just felt like whatever happened to him is probably some bullshit. Everything I've heard about the dude is that he good people. Every time I've listened to his podcast and shit, he come off like good people, and not even on some like I'm just trying to be super woke and win the woke Olympics type of good, just like genuinely seem like a good person. Yeah. Like, especially doing a job like that, you have to be the kind of person that can talk to somebody that's quote unquote ignorant, like a rapper that's sitting up here talking about, man, these females, you got to be able to talk to that guy, and you also need to be able to talk to, you know, if you're interviewing a politician.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to do both. And everybody, a lot of people in this very, very divided virtue signaling last time, a lot of people can't do both.
Mm-mm.
They can only, you know, they just want to only do interviews with people you agree with, only do people interviews with people that's woke, only do, and he does interviews with all kinds of people and brings them in and talks to them. He's a really good moderator of his show too, when he had dude from Rob from Black Sports Online, and he had from what's our girl Amanda Seals on. like he did a good job trying to moderate that conversation that was really out of, you know, very hard to do. So yeah, I hope he lands on his feet. Hopefully he's okay. I don't know what this means for, I don't know if his podcast is a TMZ thing or not. I don't know how that, any of that stuff works, but mm-hmm. You know, hopefully he'll land on his feet somewhere, man. It just sucks to have a boss, and in that case a boss that, you know, if you're arguing over politics, probably doesn't agree with you. So you got that job, but it's like, you know, if I decide you don't got that job, now you don't got that job.
Right.
Future named in another paternity case over a alleged eighth child.
Ooh, you're gonna have a long future.
You know what? At this
long
point,
kids.
At this point, if you're an Instagram model and you haven't gotten pregnant by Future, I'm looking at you sideways.
Something wrong with you, honey.
What's taking so long? Like, do you even fucking care? I mean, this dude is out here dropping more cream pies than a circus clown.
Yes, he is.
And you not hopping on that, sis?
He's filling all the holes up.
Come on now. You gotta get while the getting's good. This man just giving away money.
Mm-hmm. Filling all the holes and holes. Both
mm-hmm.
of them.
Cindy Renee Parker has filed legal docs in Nueces County, Texas, alleging Future is the father of her 3-month-old son, Legend. That's his first name.
Mm-hmm.
Ari is his middle name.
Okay.
Wilburn. Legend Ari Wilburn.
Why does it sound like a horse?
Legendary Wilburn. That's his name.
I thought that sounded like the name of a horse.
Future and Legendary. Anyway, according to docs obtained by TMZ, Cindy claims she made repeated attempts to serve the rapper with papers, but to no avail. Also, that's when you couldn't find them. Y'all need to start serving papers as soon as you like leg lock this nigga into coming. Like, you just gotta have the papers right there on the side of the bed. Like, you've been served. I'll see you in court. It's your baby.
Come on.
Cause you ain't gonna see him again.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you say that's his baby, the nigga just disappears. Smoke pellet. Like Commissioner Gordon and Batman.
Come on. Turn around. Just gone.
Well, Future, I think we should look. Hello, Future?
What happened?
Sources with direct knowledge tell TMZ Cindy says Future agreed to a paternity test, but then he went radio silent on her when it came time to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
We're told taking Future to court was Cindy's last resort. She wanted to solve this amicably on their own. How? Why?
Right. You know what? Maybe I'm ignorant and stupid and dumb, but is anybody else paying attention to Ciara out here? And the things that she been going through, and she been very public. Everybody like, fuck that bitch.
Ciara or the other 6 baby mamas. Or the other women accusing him of being a father.
Come on now.
Like, they stay on Instagram like, this nigga threatened to kill me and shit. And somebody else is just like, please come on Future and hook your girl up, okay? I don't have time. You know, I need you to come on and get this right away. That's our picture with the baby.
Oh.
Yeah. So. Oh, man, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Future need to hop on a remix of one of these tracks. Yeah. I be nothing to these bitches. Need to hop on a remix. Going to give us that codeine flow. We need it. The world needs somebody to bring it back. Okay,
they got a no condom song.
Yeah, nearly 2 months ago, Elizabeth Serafin filed legal docs in Florida alleging he was the father of her 6-month-old daughter. She said he ghosted to her after she gave birth in April.
Of course.
Oh well. I don't know, man. I know I'm supposed to feel sympathy and shit, but I don't know. Like, I'm exhausted. I'm just
when
like,
you're number 45. Yeah. I'm like, come on.
It's like I literally don't know why you would have sex with this man without protection unless you wanted this to happen.
Right.
He literally is not gonna. It's nothing he could say to you to convince you. He's gonna be there for his kid.
Mm-mm, he has shown you he got that super sperm. Knocked down all the walls.
Like, this is now part of the pregnancy cycle with Future. Like, you have to be like, okay, at 3 months is this, at 6 months is that, and then you enter this stage in 9 months, and then when the baby is here, you enter the paternity stage, and that's when you gotta go to court, and you gotta serve papers. At 3 months, you sue. At 4 months, like, this is crazy, man. And then what kind of life is this kid gonna have with a nigga with 8 other kids that don't be seeing his kids? Like, this is crazy to me to continue to, like, fuck this nigga without protection. It's crazy. I mean, unless this really is what you want, but it's like, if that's what you want, like, that's scary as fuck. Anyway, speaking of celebrities and being nasty, Tisha Campbell seemingly confirms Lisa Ray's uncensored story that Dwayne Martin helped ruin her marriage. Lisa Ray, you guys may know, for having a huge butt. You guys remember that? Back when you could be famous just for having a huge butt, but not on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You had to, like, get a magazine to dub you, like, famous for having a big butt.
You'd be on the front of that bitch.
Yeah. Like, King Magazine, you know? Like, that was the times.
Yes, because she was on reality TV at one period of time, wasn't she?
She may still be, but I'm just saying, I remember that.
Yeah, that used to be Vixen,
Video Vixens, yeah. Yes. Like, now she's, you know, known as, you know, probably does a lot of movies like the BET or something, but back in the day, man, Lisa Ray was famous because it was like, ooh, she got all that ass. I remember those days, finally.
The problem was, I married a playboy. I married what I thought was going to be a union in which it was going to be what we wanted it to be, because he did say, I want to date you within our marriage. To me, he was absolutely right, because I'm not so sure I would have stayed if we didn't do it that way. So when we got married, I had one more season of All of Us. I was going back and forth every weekend, and it was killing me.
Like anybody, when you start a new business or a new adventure, your focus is there.
So I guess this is her daughter.
So, you know, your other things kind of take a little bit of a back burner to things.
And I had to commit to be this newfound first lady and this new wife. So
now, looking at this picture, this nigga definitely cheat.
Ooh, that collar.
You can see from his collar, that's a cheating ass nigga. He looking at a woman right there in that picture.
He got that 1980s collar pulled out.
Yeah, he looking in the background right there in that picture, like
that Miami Vice collar.
Like, who is that right there? Go and get her number for me real quick. Meet me after the after my wife leave, okay?
I left my career, and I was a full-time wife and first lady in Turks and Caicos Islands, which is really huge for a city girl, because here I am on this island. Yes, it's beautiful, but I have no friends. I have no family. I have no career.
Lisa Ray has a great heart, and she wanted to go to...
Oh, my girl, Kim Whitley.
Yes!
Oh, one of my faves.
She has thickums, too.
To help the people. Yes. She wanted to be that first lady, and I think the people got it twisted. You know, I think they looked at her and was like, oh, there's that American girl, you know, the actress. And she had to fight a lot just to prove herself. And I don't know if it ever worked.
As my reign in being a first lady became busier and busier, and I found my position, then he was doing a lot more traveling by himself, and I was staying home speaking at a school or having an engagement or an appearance or something. And to really to be quite honest, then he became friends with Dwayne Martin, one of my friends on All of Us. And when I introduced them, that was one of the worst things I ever did.
Dwayne Martin,
this is from Langita, a mentor.
Lisa Ray was a nemesis that was unbelievable. And
You know what? I'm looking in the bottom corner. I was starting to be like, yo, this feel a lot like For My Man and Fatal Attractions. And I looked in the bottom, TV One production.
Come on,
TV One. I know the pattern.
We know y'all fingerprint.
Who up next? Dr. Jeff? You know, when two men are traveling to many cities together, by themselves, without the company of their wives, in many cases, infidelity can happen.
He was someone that she trusted, someone that she felt was her friend, someone she had bonded with. and none of that was true.
Somehow within that relationship, I lost my husband to Dwayne Martin, and they became better friends than what me and my husband did, and I couldn't understand that.
Oh, this picture's so shady. It's just done with some random white girl in another country.
Oh.
Hear these niggas out with a white girl. You know she ain't recognize them. I don't even know.
She probably was like, who are you?
Nah, that's probably like a white.
You celebrity. American.
That's probably like a white celebrity. We just don't know.
Yeah, you know I don't know.
That's probably like Tara Reid or something.
I wouldn't know.
This is the, we don't know who ain't going to be right in our life until they ain't right. That's you got to open your heart and trust people.
Come on, Kim.
Lisa Ray trusted Dwayne. This was her brother, her best friend. But he went dirty on her. He did.
He became disrespectful with introducing my husband to different women and women that we actually knew as friends and associates.
In Turks and Caicos, she opened up her home to him and he brought other women to her husband. Not a very spiritual or positive human being.
Yes, you know my dirt as my brother, as my friend, but you my friend. I introduced you to him. What are you doing? I'm still kind of confused about that one. So needless to say, me and Dwayne don't f*** with each other at all. F*** him. F*** him.
Men over. Bros for hoes, right?
I think she said, fuck him, fuck him, fuck him.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what she said. But I'm saying bros for hoes is why he must have. He was her friend and then came into her marriage, linked up with her husband and was like, let's go get some hoes together.
I'm bringing the hoes here.
Like, that's some wild ass bros for hoes shit. But yeah, Tisha Campbell went on Instagram Live. She was married to Dwayne Martin for 22 years. They recently got that divorce. She said, I'm so proud of her for being honest. As she said, a special emphasis on the word honest. And Lisa Ray posted part of Campbell's video on her timeline with a caption that said, thanks for the support, my truth has been spoken, it's released. So that's terrible. I mean, obviously it's her husband ultimately that's in the marriage and all that shit, but still, like, that's a horrible betrayal of a friendship. Let's see what else is happening. Queen Latifah to receive Harvard University W.B. Du Bois Medal for her contributions to black culture.
Come on.
Latifah is a singer, songwriter, actress, and more. Her resume is also decorated with many awards, including the Grammy, Emmy, and Golden Globe. Latifah was also the first hip-hop artist to receive a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, according to CNN. The icon, whose real name is Dana Owens, wrote Ladies First, Revelations of a Strong Woman, and hosted her talk show, The Queen Latifah Show, for almost 4 years. The award is named after civil rights activist and scholar William Edward Burghardt, W.B. Du Bois. Or is it Du Bois? I don't know. I never know if I'm saying it right.
I've heard it pronounced before.
Me too. Who was the first black student to earn a doctorate from Harvard in 1895. Latifah is one of seven honorees who will be recognized, as she now joins Muhammad Ali, Maya Angelou, and Dave Chappelle, Octavia Hudson, and Nasir Nas Jones. The medal is Harvard's highest honor in the field of African and African American studies. Wow. Good for her.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations, Dana. You did it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's always been like a powerhouse person. And then, you know, the thing about Queen Latifah, another one of these people that keeps coming up every day, but another one of these motherfuckers, you never see her in no trouble. You never see her saying no wild shit about nobody or just saying some real ugly shit.
People have said all kinds of rumors and shit. She just be living her life.
She don't be, right. She never even goes back, and tries to like
clarify
shit or go back and forth with haters or any of this stuff. And I still don't know if anybody has dissed her since. I think maybe Moni Love may have tried to diss her back in the day, you know, but all she just do is just mind her motherfucking business, eat her rice or whatever, and just chill. It's amazing, man. So good for her. Let's see what else. Sleep myths debunked, from swallowing spiders to drinking before bed. Apparently there's a lot of myths of things that happen in people's sleep.
Oh, no, and
they're not all true.
While you're sleeping.
Just things involving sleep that people believe.
Okay.
Just different things that you've been told throughout your life. I don't know if you've heard these things or not. We'll go through the article and see.
Let's do it.
Common misconceptions about the land of Nod. Drinking alcohol before you sleep, before bed helps you sleep. 32% of people surveyed believe that a nightcap was the key to good night's sleep. This is likely due to the fact that many of us have had a boozy night and slept like logs, struggling to wake up in the morning. However, just because you feel dead to the world doesn't mean you're getting the quality sleep you need to regenerate, which contributes to your tiredness the next day.
I can understand that.
Yeah, alcohol may seem to be helping you to sleep as it helps induce sleep, but overall it's more disruptive to sleep, particularly in the second half of the night. Alcohol also suppresses breathing and can precipitate sleep apnea.
I didn't know that.
Watching TV, using a smartphone, tablet, computer helps you fall asleep. Watching something boring on your laptop or phone might seem like a good way to lull yourself to sleep. Almost a third of respondents, 30%, believe so anyway. But they couldn't be more wrong. In fact, the blue light emitted from these devices actually has the opposite effect, as the blue light emitted from screens affects the brain's ability to produce melatonin, which tells the body when it's time to sleep.
That's what I've heard. That's why on my phone I have it set to like kind of go into like a dark mode at a certain time, and not to brighten up until I, you know, till it's time for me to get up. Because I actually have my phone where I turn off all notifications, like unless you are like on my favorites list, you can't reach me, because like I said, it's bright, the phone's bright. A lot of people have can't sleep, and that's because every time you try to go sleep, your phone bing bing ding ding bing bing ding and brighten up. How could you rest? How could you properly
sleep?
Well,
that's also the thing I do, is why I don't go to Kmart, because Kmart has a blue light special and you can't sleep on that. The older you get, the less sleep you need. Just because your granny gets up at the crack of dawn doesn't mean she needs less sleep. 29% of respondents believe that, though, that you get older and you need less sleep.
I need more.
In trials, when older people were asked to sleep as much as they could, they averaged less than younger adults tasked with the same. Those running the study were keen not to state that this meant that older people definitively needed less sleep, though, and instead concluded that there was no way to state whether it was a decreased ability or need to sleep. Essentially, sleep needs differ from person to person. There's no need to assume that you can stay up all night as soon as you hit pension age and not feel the effects. Some people don't dream at all. 25% of those asked believe that some people simply have no dreams whatsoever, which may be due to the fact that they don't remember them. Studies show, however, while not all people know they've had a dream, dreaming happens in all people during the rapid eye movement period of deep sleep. Yeah, I didn't dream or remember my dreams for a long time, but they've been coming back for the last like few months. So I wake up and I can remember them too.
Yeah, like I said, I can't remember all of them, but some of them I remember very vividly. Yeah, and sometimes I've had dreams where I've hit the ground and hit something, I would just wake up. And I think it's been times where I've been moving in my sleep. I think one time in the dream I was running for my life and fighting something, and next thing I know I was swinging in the air in real life. I was like, hey, calm down over there.
Yeah, I think I just said you're okay or whatever.
Yeah, because I don't know
what you was dreaming about, but you was definitely going off over there. I was glad you was fighting, but I just was like, baby, it's okay, you're okay. Yeah, okay.
I don't remember what I was fighting, but whatever the hell it was, I was fighting the hell out of, and next thing I know, I'm swinging in the air.
Yeah. I had a weird dream one time that I fucking drove somewhere to pick you up, and then we had to take a bus all the way back to Charlotte, and then I got off the bus and got stranded in the middle of nowhere, and y'all left without me. And I was like,
what?
Yeah, I was like,
why would we do that?
I woke up because I was just like, this doesn't make any fucking sense. First of all, I drove up here. Why the fuck wouldn't we just drive back?
I was like, ain't nothing wrong with the car. The car didn't break down.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck happened to everything?
I know you're looking like, I keep the tires, the oil change, you got inspections. What is happening here?
Another time I had a dream, I was making out with somebody that it was a podcast I listened to. And I was like, why the fuck would we be making out? This makes no fucking sense. I am a married man. And I woke up. I was like, what the fuck kind of dream was that? I'm not. I prefer to not remember. I prefer not to have dreams.
You prefer not to,
whenever I have them, I just wake up because I'll be like, "What the fuck is happening? This is stupid."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had dreams where I couldn't move. I've had those dreams too. dreams sleep can be paralysis. All over the place.
Let's see what else they said. You can train your body to function on less sleep than needed. And they said, as if your body is simply a Rubik's Cube that needs to be solved. That has also moved into the sleep sphere, which also almost a quarter believe in they can train their body to sleep less. For most people, up to 99%, according to research, getting less than 6 hours a night can have consequences, from lower testosterone levels to insulin resistance to cardiovascular disease.
Mm-hmm. And lack of sleep, especially for a extensive period of time, can actually affect your memory.
Those who naturally need less sleep tend to have a mutated gene called HDEC2, which essentially predisposes them. Why was that so hard? I wanted to put like an extra isis in there. Predisposes them. them to sleep, short sleepers. So that'll be all the entrepreneurs who do interviews saying they get 3 hours a night. Everyone is a lazy loser. Don't worry. Needing a full night every night is perfectly normal.
Mm-hmm. When I was younger, I could do like power naps, you know, 15-20 minutes, and then wake up and go to class. But I've always been the type of person that actually likes and enjoy my sleep. Like I said, and it's funny though, because a lot of people be like, sleep is for the dead. Well, you're gonna die if you don't get proper sleep, so you might as well enjoy your sleep while you can, you know, because what I feel like, shit gonna happen if I'm up or not up. Somebody dies, guess what, I can't do shit about it.
Working out at night makes it harder to fall asleep. It's actually true that overtraining can lead to insomnia. And 23% of people think exercise is bad for falling asleep, but researchers agree that moderate exercise can work wonders for your sleep cycle, with those who do around 30 minutes of exercise finding that they sleep longer and better than the same night. While this isn't completely clear, but it's thought that it may have something to do with your body temperature and endorphins released during exercise. You can make up for lost sleep over the weekend. Having an early alarm in the week may mean you're keen to make up for lost time on the weekend with a big old lie-in. But apparently that's not the case. Assistant professor at university, Christopher Deppner said, catch-up sleep does not appear to be an effective strategy to reverse sleep loss, induced disruptions of metabolism. So I guess people are doing it thinking they can like catch up and settle, get their body right during the weekend. And you know, Americans, as overworked as we are, that's definitely a thing most Americans do.
Oh yeah.
Like, oh, I'll sleep in the weekend and that's why it's okay, I'm working on 4 hours sleep.
Right. Your body really, you literally are not designed to function like that. You're just not, and shit like that. And they be talking about a weekend, coming in a weekend. I said, I don't do weekends.
Well, that's not what the question was about, but Mm-mm. Thank you for letting us know you're not the one.
Mm-mm.
See, that's been the theme today. Karen's not the one, guys, okay? She's not the one for your little internet problems. Mm-mm. She's not the one for us coming into work on the weekend. No one was asking, Mm-mm. but she ain't the one, in case you think.
I'm just letting you know, just in case, because I be sleeping in on the weekends.
She also not boo-boo the damn fool up in here, okay?
I am not.
Or one of your little friends.
What? And I wasn't born yesterday. So I mean, since we gonna go through them all.
Falling asleep with wet hair will give you a cold. That's a belief that people have. But they said it has no effect whatsoever on whether you get a cold or not.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. I'm superstitious. I definitely believe certain, like, if I go outside and I have just like a shirt on and it's cold out and I don't bring a jacket or something, I'll be like, I'm gonna get a cold. And I do. I don't know how. I'll be feeling like I can remember when I got the cold. Like, I didn't wear a hat to the gym.
Sometimes it be like that.
I don't even know if it's true, y'all. That's how I be feeling though. Maybe the cold could taste my doubt. It's like, this nigga over here doubting himself. His immune system weak, y'all. Jump in there. An hour of sleep before midnight is worth more than two after. A whopping 23% of people believe this myth, which probably came from parents who want their kids to go to sleep on time. While those who are early birds and go to bed earlier are shown to be more successful, there shouldn't be a direct correlation between sleep times and quality of sleep. There are caveats in that you need to make sure you have some semblance of a circadian rhythm. But for example, you won't get effective sleep in a light room as your body assumes it's a wake up time. It also makes sense if you're actually getting around 8 hours of sleep or less. If you're one of those mythological short sleepers, you can't simply go to bed at 3 a.m., get up at 7 a.m., then be confused as to why you're tired.
Come on.
Another myth people have is that their brain is inactive during sleep. I think everyone knows that one. How many people voted for that one?
What, your brain is inactive?
But they think their brain is inactive during sleep.
Oh, your brain firing off all types of shit during sleep.
Yeah, I don't know. They didn't show the percentage for that, so I'm gonna just say that's just a myth.
Cause they don't got doctors that actually study your brain while you're sleeping for nothing.
And the last myth, you swallow 8 spiders per year while you sleep. This is probably the funniest one of all. It's even funnier that 20% of people really believe that spiders are queuing up, waiting for you to drift off and claim your mouth is at home. While we're awake or asleep, we're breathing and have a heartbeat, which creates vibrations alerting spiders of danger, at least the ones that live in the UK. The old adage is true. They're more scared of you than you are of them.
Nigga, no. Roger know me, but I think a bug got in here one time. I had 2 cans raised, like I had 2 45s, and I sprayed the shit out of that motherfucker. No, ain't no, not dealing with bugs.
Well, it's also that thing, too, where, like, there's certain primal fears we have, and I know, you know, for a lot of people, like, bugs and shit getting your ears, your nose, your throat, like, are all things that we're just definitely afraid of, so it doesn't matter if it's true or not. For a lot of people, it's like, fuck this shit, I'm scared, and so I believe that, you know, spiders are climbing in fucking your ear and shit, you know? Alright, let's get to some other stuff. Let me see what I got to talk about. Y'all, and what segment we're going to next. You know what, let's do some fucking with black people.
We're just fucking with those black people. We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the globe and makes us find different articles, and we rate them from 0 to Jakaris in intervals of 25, and letting you know how much we're fucked with as black people. Today's contestants, everybody. All right. Everyone's on the docket today. I'm going to scroll down far and see, because there's so many of these, y'all. Just the archive of fucking with black people I never clicked on could be its own fucking podcast.
Of course.
So let's do some old shit, guys. Aren't we all tired of the new shit anyway? We all know the new stuff. Oh, geez.
Here's one. Do we?
Here's one. Florida state rep says blackface was a prank and he won't step down.
I believe that.
Which part? That it was a prank?
No, that he won't step down.
Oh.
Yeah, meant to do that shit, and he not stepping down.
Yet another scandal involving an elected official caught wearing blackface has emerged. This time comes a case out of Florida in which a state representative refuses to step down despite servicing as a blackface photo.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is some of the worst blackface I've
ever
seen.
I don't care what y'all say. I bought the other day. It was so much better.
First of all, he ain't got no goatee. So you couldn't even pull out the facial hair. Then, because you couldn't pull off the eyes, you put on some shades, a do-rag, and a New York Yankees hat, because you knew that this shit wouldn't work. Your neck ain't even the same color as your face.
Right, you didn't blend it in well.
What is the neck, shoe polish? What the fuck?
Probably is.
Representative Anthony Sabatini, a Republican, has said that a photo of him in high school wearing blackface, gold chains, and a do-rag were only a prank, and that one of his best friends back in those days was black. Oh, well, I guess I was forgiven. I was best friends with Jason Whitlock, okay? He didn't have a problem with it. Mm-mm. I'm 16 years old. One of my best friends at the time was black. We thought at the time, looking back, it was immature. It would be funny to dress as each other. He dressed in my clothes, a Ralph Lauren polo, shirt, shorts, Converse, and I dressed in his clothes. Here's my question. Are y'all still friends?
That's a good question.
I'd love to hear his take on it. None of us thought 14 years later any of us would be a public figure and that the photo would be decontextualized. Yeah, it's still blackface. It's not a lack of context on this one, buddy. Mm-mm. You went with the shoe polish. You could have just dressed like each other.
That's what
did your white friend, did your black friend put in white face or nah?
Did he put on Caucasian face?
Right. So he of course did not resign.
Of course not. Probably still got the job.
Yeah. In a statement, he countered to the Senate that the situation has zero comparison to the case involving Ertel, who is a dude that did resign, or anything or another in which medical school yearbook photos of Virginia Governor Ralph Northam surfaced showing one person in blackface and someone next to a person wearing KKK robes. Yeah. He literally said this has nothing to do with the blackface. Look, Democratic blackface, they need to get fired. But me as a Republican, my blackface totally different. You gotta understand. Okay, it was just a different time. Zero to your cars, Karen.
100.
All right, I give it 100 as well. I give it 100 as well. They hate us, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else Owens, other old shit we have. Writer Bret Easton Ellis thinks Black Panther is being shoved down our throats. Don't they love that phrase?
Yeah, they do.
All biggest love shoved down our throats. Black Panther making history with its best picture nod at this year's Oscar was a cause for celebration for most, despite this year's assortment of nominees noticeably including an array of extremely puzzling omissions. At least fans could point to the Academy as having acknowledged Ryan Coogler's critical and commercial mega hit as a high point for 2019 award season. But American Psycho creator Bret Easton Ellis, I think I see the agenda here, however, says the film's praise has served as inspiration for him to revive a peculiar criticism tactic that previously saw the once acclaimed writer quite dumbly attributing Hurt Locker director Kathryn Bigelow's own award success to being a hot woman. Oh, so he's just one of those guys. Okay. Now see, my guess is because he directed, American Psycho and that starred Christian Bale, he was a huge Dark Knight fan. And he was mad that Black Panther got nominated for an Oscar and Dark Knight didn't, which is probably why I know JL is going to give this a zero for how much he feels fucked with by this blatant racism. But the rest of us reasonable blacks will probably be triggered by this. During the recent episode of his podcast, as transcribed by the rap, Ellis, who recorded the episode before the nominations announcement, questioned Black Panther's quality. No superhero movie has ever gotten a Best Picture nomination, but believe me, Disney's doing everything in its power to make sure this happens. Even though there is no one out here in La La Land I've met who thinks Black Panther is that good as a movie, yet as a piece of representation, they are supporting it. Ellis went on to say that he felt that the assessment of Coogler's film as a grand piece of cinematic art was being shoved down our throats by press and studios alike. Representation is so important to them, he said on the podcast, which is only available to subscribers for a fee. And with a huge fatuous inclusivity and diversity push, what the most flattering pose might be in the moment, as if inclusivity and diversity have anything to do with awarding a movie's merits. Yes, this is the culture the Oscars are pushing, and it is rather nauseating.
Mm-hmm. So I have to pay to even hear your opinion about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Here's what I think is interesting. They always say, this is how the language of bigotry works. Because there's a lot of idiots that will agree with him.
Yes.
Is that the original setup of the Oscars, which was a mostly older white person demographic,
mm-hmm.
older white and male,
right.
was the default. Those have been the standards they have used for 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that those are the correct standards only because those have been the only fucking standards.
Right.
You think white people aren't racist? You think the men aren't sexist? You think it's a coincidence that we keep getting first for black people in 2019? And then you all go, it's shameful. But then when they try to make any fucking change and go, well, look, let's include some other people's opinion, they didn't even really take away people's shit. They took away people that weren't active members.
Right.
But they didn't even really take away people. They just said, we're going to add more voices to the table.
They just made the pool bigger and they lost their fucking
We're going to let more movies be nominated.
Right.
Because more, like, we understand that we have been very limited in our scope. And one of the few ways to do this without people having to lose out on something is to expand what we do to more voices. And there are people that would advocate against that.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that feel threatened by that. They get upset with the idea that something black might get recognized.
Right.
You know, so that's, and I'm so happy that it happened, because when I see a person like this mad about it, I actually am like, okay, so they're on the right path.
Right. When I see the bigots and shit like that, white supremacy people constantly coming out and bashing, I was like, oh yeah, we're on the right track. A lot of times with diversity and shit like that, when you see ignorant people that are against it being very vocal, that's how you know the shit is working, whatever it is.
Like, it couldn't possibly just be a good movie, right?
Right.
It had a 97% on Rotten Tomatoes at the time. Yeah. It couldn't be that people enjoyed it.
Broke records, you know, Avengers broke that record, but before Avengers, it was Black Panther that literally broke records.
It's the catch-22 of a lot of these awards, and it's one of the reasons I don't really like to get involved in awards season too much, because it's really, how well can I guess white supremacy? Because at the end of the day, like when people do, I'm gonna guess what's gonna get nominated. What you're really trying to guess is, what do white people want? You know, that's it. Cause you're not really going by the merits of what's the best and what's not, cause that's all subjective anyway.
Right.
So you're trying to, it's like, let me just see, white people probably feel this way about this. So the thing for me though, that I find, really fucked up, is that when a movie like Black Panther comes along, that has a stellar cast, a stellar story, makes the fucking amount of amazing, earth-shattering amount of money.
Yeah, and I think they get
extreme critical success and critical acclaim.
Mm-hmm.
People still find a way to say that only happened because it's black. Okay, well, let's talk about that. Did no other black movies come out that year? Did all the black movies make a fucking make that much money? Like, what the fuck kind of shit is that?
Hey, you know what? It don't make that money unless white people support it, too.
Yeah, like, that's what people do these days, is be, like, they do this thing where you can't be excellent because you're black. You're not good at this. Okay, so you achieve excellence. Well, that only happened because you're black. People just want you to be good at this. You know, Rush Limbaugh did that with Donovan McNabb, when he was talking to, when he became an NFL analyst. We all knew he was a racist, but ESPN hired him anyway. And within 4 or 5 weeks on the job, he was, you know, the media is very, very desirous for a black quarterback. And it's like, oh, this is him doing the thing where if a black guy is playing good or bad, the whole problem is he's black.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no, you know, so that's the real thing. Y'all are rooting for a black guy. Anyway, fuck him. Fuck this dude. And I gave it your cars.
100.
Let's see. White cop mocks a black woman left to walk home in the cold after being pulled over in a racist Snapchat post. White police officer in Detroit has been stripped of his rank as an investigation into a racist post he made mocking a black woman gets underway. Officer Gary Steele and his partner pulled over 24-year-old Ariel Moore on Tuesday night after they discovered a vehicle had expired license plate tabs.
Yeah, I'm about to say, this story does sound familiar.
Oh, we did this already?
I think we did, baby.
Okay, alright. Well, I will archive. I'll get rid of that one.
Because I was like, and I remember this story. The more you talked about it, I was like, I think I heard
shit,
it.
Shit, my bad, y'all.
No problem.
Let's see. So we probably talked about Rachel True and her. Yeah, I think we did talk about Rachel True. Alright, well. Let's go back up to the top then, because I know we haven't talked about all these, so I go back close to the top.
No problem.
Cops called on a man accused of sneaking into AMC movie theater. Do you know how embarrassing this is? Black lives,
they got assigned seats. What are we talking about here?
Not just that, but like, call the police. What happened to getting the usher?
That, because that's their job, so they can usher you out.
When someone's in my seat, I just go to the fucking front. Hey, I got these tickets and somebody in my seat. Black Lives Matter Arizona will protest outside an AMC movie theater for racial profiling, harassment, and mistreatment of a man incorrectly accused of sneaking into Captain Marvel screening.
Also, he had a ticket.
No black man would be in this film. This isn't Black Panther. On Friday night, Larry Shelton, 40, a mortgage banker, was watching the movie at an AMC theater in Phoenix when he got up to use the restroom and refill his beverage. I'm walking back to my seat with my cup when a manager runs up and says I entered the building through an exit door. Shelton tells Yahoo Lifestyle he was very nasty with me and told me to leave. Shelton told the employee he was wrong and that he should verify suspicion on security camera. He continued to his seat and he ate popcorn wearing 3D glasses. Now where the fuck you get 3D glasses from if he snuck in a motherfucking theater?
Come on, you don't bring those with you.
Who the fuck has those on just tap?
Come on!
A security guard told him to leave. Shelton refused, filming an argument for Facebook. Shelton recorded another video in the theater lobby where police officers are standing. These guys said, you don't have a ticket. I said an officer, indicating the manager, who said, sir, you walked in the exit door. My staff warned me that they did not sell you a ticket, I'm sure. Nobody scanned your ticket. Shelton presented his movie ticket and the manager said, oh yes, this is a ticket that does look like it was purchased, but you should have shown me the ticket. You walked in from the exit door. Do you know how embarrassing this is? Said Shelton. He asked for a refund. The manager said, you're not getting a refund. You violated our code of conduct by turning a flashlight on in the theater.
What? What?
Shelton tells Yahoo Lifestyle that showing his ticket to the manager would have ended the misunderstanding, but he felt defensive. The exit door it supposedly snuck into was too far from the theater I was sitting in. I would have had to teleport there by the time the manager stopped me. Phoenix Police Department says that no laws were broken. Shelton sent an email to AMC alleging discrimination. The company response, a copy of which Shelton shared to Yahoo, partly read, we deeply regret the mistake in misidentifying you.
Mm-mm, that's not sufficient.
We understand that Mr. Shelton feels he was treated with bias, said the spokesperson. Equality is of the utmost importance to AMC, which is why unconscious bias training is required for all AMC manager associates. We'll be reinforcing that training at this theater.
He
was offered free movie passes and popcorn and drink vouchers from the company. However, he's seeking legal counsel. I feel very ashamed, he said. Were you gonna say something? Mm. Okay. On Tuesday evening outside the theater, Black Lives Matter Arizona will protest for Shelton, who will also join alleging racial profiling, harassment, and mistreatment.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Black Lives Matter Arizona. They be on everything, huh?
Yeah, that's very frustrating, because you're throwing me some tickets, and like somebody said, the tickets ought to be in for life. If we ain't talking about for life, yeah, what the fuck are we talking about here?
Okay, you seem pretty fired up, Sarah. So 0 to 100.
Oh, 100.
Okay, I thought you was gonna finally give it your cars. All right, 0 for me. Nah, it's 100.
Yeah, because that's just fucked up. After I show you the ticket, that's gonna be the end, and then you know what? You inconvenienced me, so yes, I would demand my money back too. Like that makes sense. I basically have missed the bulk of the movie out here fucking with y'all.
Last one. A mom admits she made up a story that she scared away a kidnapper with a gun at a West Virginia mall. A mother who claimed a man attempted to abduct her daughter at a West Virginia mall is facing charges after she admitted to police she made up the story. A felony charge of attempted abduction against a 54-year-old Mohammed Fathi Hussein Zayan of Alexandria, Egypt, is expected to be dropped later on Tuesday. That's right, they went and found a black man to actually arrest. The woman reported the incident Monday evening at the mall and said she pulled out a gun to scare away the reported suspect. She recanted the story on Tuesday. Told investigators she was shopping with her daughter in the Old Navy a little after 6 p.m. when she said a man approached them and tried to pull her daughter away by the hair.
Why would you make that up?
My thing is, maybe she didn't make that up. I think we do know who did this, Karen.
Who?
Hey, it was me. I saw her coming out of the store, and I said I got to have some Old Navy. Give me y'all a yellow gap, bitch.
Yep, them imaginary Negroes.
Mm-hmm. The Fat Albert Gang strikes again. Hey, we're going to get some Gap clothes. Oh, people are so racist, man.
Yes, they are. They went and found somebody to lock up just because she said it.
Didn't even make sense.
Mm-mm.
Sir, we have no evidence other than you being black and in the area. You're coming with us, goddammit. You did it.
Right.
I'm from Egypt. We know how you Egyptians get down.
You brown.
We know what you guys get into.
You either for us or you niggas.
Mm-hmm. We know how you Egyptians love to kidnap children and build pyramids and shit. Go ahead and get in the back of the car, sir.
Mm-hmm. You and the Sphinx.
Mm-mm-mm. All right, let's go to the guest of race.
Now that it's time for some guest of race. That's right, it's guest of race time. Now that it's time for some guest of race. That's right, it's guest of race time.
Ba-doop-boop.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a racist. All right. An Atlanta woman spent a whole month clueless that her boyfriend had shot her in the head.
What?
As she was hidden in his mother's house suffering from memory loss, according to a new report.
Oh.
Geronte Kane, 39, was sentenced Thursday to 25 years in prison and 5 years on probation for shooting Nicole Gordon, 42, more than 2 years ago. Gordon had been feeling ill for more than a month, suffering from severe headaches, memory loss, and difficulty communicating. The paper reported, finally on June 25th, 2017, a friend brought her to the hospital where doctors found a bullet in the rear of her skull. Cops were called to investigate. Gordon could remember only parts of the incident. She told authorities she had been arguing with Kane, and at some point, the driver's window of the car broke and crashed in her face. After that, she blacked out and had no memory of being shot.
Wow.
Yep. A whole ass evil motherfucker.
And she survived for 2 years.
Right.
Holy shit.
She woke up in Kane's car and told investigators her beau brought her to his mother's house, where the pair treated her for what she believed was a head wound resulting from broken glass. Oh, his mama helped? Now, see, did she know?
I bet she didn't.
I don't know. She just hit her head on some glass, mama.
I put like this. I hope she wouldn't end on it.
Right. At no point during the month between the fight with Kane and her eventual visit to the medical center in Atlanta did Gordon receive any professional care. When interviewed by investigators, Kane tried to blame his girlfriend, saying she crashed into a tree, causing the glass to shatter. The crime scene proved to be inconsistent with his explanation. Doctors determined the injuries Gordon suffered were consistent with being shot in the head.
A whole ass bullet, dog. Come on, that's not glass.
A warrant was issued for his arrest the same year, but he wasn't arrested until January 2019.
Holy shit.
Just out there, a whole girlfriend shooter just walking the streets. Gordon's friends claimed the man had sexually abused her in the past and that she suffered bruises and black eyes on several different occasions. So he was, this is that escalating abuse that happens.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Doctors have opted to not remove the bullet from her skull for fear that the procedure might kill her. So she gotta deal with this shit for the rest of her life. All those symptoms she had. Kane who had 13 prior arrests, convicted of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, aggravated battery, possession of a firearm during the commission of a felony, and possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. Guess the race of Geronte Kane.
A Negro.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Yeah, that's hard for her.
Live with that.
Trash nigga and trash gun, black. 51st nigga dates. Black and crazy as fuck. Black. The blackest of black. Oops, upside the head. Black. Aww. Black. Yeah. The correct answer is black. You guys all got it. That's one time being hard-headed saved her.
Come on.
I want to know what's up with his mama, though. Like, she knew that woman had debilitated injuries and shit after that, and she helped patch that up, and nothing. Mm-hmm. That's
right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
Because who knows? I'm assuming initially she didn't know, but after a while, she was like, something wrong with her. We need to take her to the hospital.
Somebody. least her friend was looking out for her.
Bro, I'm surprised they're not charging his mama.
And everybody knew he had abused her in the past, like.
Right.
That's the thing, man. People stay and, you know, it's no right answer. If you stay, mm-hmm. it escalates. If you leave, they try to kill you. Like, mm-hmm. who knows what could have happened? She could have been trying to leave.
You never know.
A Lebanon woman is charged with crashing into multiple cars, and she said God told her to do it. So this is a little different from my girl that said demons told her to do something. This one was crashing shit into cars because God said it. And if you're a Christian, I want you to stop and ask yourself how you know he didn't. Exactly. Lebanon woman, Lebanon, Ohio, by the way, is accused of intentionally crashing a car on Tuesday night, causing a chain reaction crash. She said she did it because God told her to do it, according to Ohio State Highway Patrol.
Mm-mm, that's not how that works.
Wow. I wonder if they have a news report.
Finish 2019 off.
Oh, sorry. I don't know if they have the news report or if this is just a video of her in court, but we're about to find out together in about 15 seconds. Well, actually about 10 seconds. But, meanwhile, Adam and Eve code TBGWT.
Come on, use the code.
All right, let's see.
Treat yourself.
Get this sound back up. What's going on? Here we go. All right, let's find out together. Cause you know, sometimes it's like the news and sometimes it's just like, we put a camera in the courtroom and put a banner underneath it and say it's news.
Right.
Oh, of course it wants to freeze right as I turn the volume up. This is just
She listened to the judge's orders today, but Tuesday night, Mary Clawitter told police she was.
Okay, well. While it takes
listening to God. God told her to do it, she reportedly told police after they say she intentionally caused this crash.
We thought it was an injury crash to begin with. Turned out to be an intentional act where a lady had.
Maybe it's the guy from Preacher.
Intentionally rammed several cars on Columbus Avenue.
Including this woman's, who asked only to be identified.
Only to be identified when we paused to buffer. Yeah, this is terrible. I'm sorry. I thought this was going to play. But
we apologize, y'all.
Fight yeah. As Stephanie.
It really is upsetting and hard for me to comprehend and understand how anybody would want to hurt somebody else.
Stephanie was on her way home from her 8-year-old son's football practice and also had her 11-month-old in the car with them.
She just slammed into the back of the car that was behind me, which slammed into me, and then I hit the car in front of me. I mean, she was going so fast. Seeing the car behind me, I don't know how.
Still got to buffer some more, but I mean, maybe that's what God wanted her to do. Mm-hmm. Have you ever thought about that?
Out of that alive.
According to a police report, Clawitter said she was probably traveling at 100 miles per hour. Ooh. And when troopers asked if she tried to kill people, she stated yes.
If she was trying to kill somebody,
so y'all really read the Bible, and God told a man to kill his son, and y'all go, what a great story. It's about faith. But this woman can't drive 100 miles an hour down the street trying to kill people without y'all being like, God told her to do that. Wow. That is some double standards to me. I'm sorry. Wow.
100 miles an hour. You trying to kill somebody.
They didn't have attempted. I mean, when he was going to kill his son with that knife, he was trying to kill somebody. I mean, true. God wanted him to kill somebody. And then the last second, he was like, I'll just fuck with you, psych. You've been punked. Camera's right
there. Mind. Right now, Clawitter is charged with one count of felony assault. But since there were multiple victims, troopers say once they meet with prosecutors, charges could be upgraded for the woman who they say told them she does whatever God tells her to do.
Yeah, I don't know who she's praying to.
And troopers have not yet confirmed Clawitter's speed. They tell me that is still under investigation. They also don't have the exact number of people who were injured, but tell me tonight one person does remain in critical condition. Clawitter's bond was set at $50,000 today, and she's due back in court next week. Reporting live in Lebanon tonight, Karen Johnson, WLWT News 5.
What if you get to heaven and God is like, yeah, I told her to kill you. I mean, you were sitting in traffic, and I'm just like, oh, it's time. Anyway, Karen. Oh, wow.
Boom, 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 boom.
Karen,
white.
Okay, Karen's going white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. Fast and Furious wept white. I think she let Jesus take the wheel. Oh man, I guess he was her co-pilot.
Yes, they love that one. They love that one.
I'm sorry. going over 100 miles per hour, she was trying to meet God, look upon his face white. Godspeed, white. Godspeed! that's good. Bitch, don't put that evil on me, God. Holy Ghost, transparent, white. Christine, white. No traffic cop in the bush, white. Her God lets church out on time. Oh man, don't he though? That's the only jealousy I ever had, was white people leaving church and getting to watch football on time. Anyway, the correct answer is white. Y'all got it. I'm not gonna show a picture because the video was having troubles loading, so I don't feel like going through that shit again.
No problem.
All right, let's go to the bonus round.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right, double the point, double the race, and the bonus round against the race. So far, Karen is a rare 2 for 2.
Can you believe it?
But is it even in the cards that she could finish 3 for 3?
I don't know. We about to see.
A man named Tupac Shakur arrested for meth possession and aggravated assault.
What?
I knew he was alive.
And kicking, apparently.
Tupac back. They saying Tupac back. All eyes are on the, we getting sassy? Okay. All eyes are on a man named Tupac A. Shakur, who was arrested in Tennessee for meth possession and aggravated assault, among other charges. Mm-mm-mm. This is like the realest shit the Daily News ever wrote.
Come on.
Shakur, who has the same name as one of the most famous rappers ever, was busted Saturday in Johnson City, with cops locating him in the passenger side of a car. According to the Johnson City Police Department. So he wasn't driving. I guess he had ambitions as a rider. I wonder who could have been driving. Maybe it's just him and his girlfriend. As they tried to take Shakur, 40, into custody, he resisted and ultimately pulled a knife on the officers. After a brief struggle, Mr. Shakur was placed in custody. Mr. Shakur was in possession of a syringe and multiple baggies of methamphetamine. In addition to the meth possession and aggravated assault charges, he was charged with resisting arrest and unlawful drug paraphernalia. Living that thug life till he die, huh?
Come on.
Of course, the hip-hop star named Shakur, that we know who he is. Mm-hmm. All right, Karen, guess the race. Tupac Shakur.
I am going to go white because of the drugs. You know, if you just said crack or weed or something like that, I'd have went black.
So going white for meth. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ask the chat room already?
Oh, did I? There you go.
Me against the world, white. Blah, blah. Wait. Blah, black, gay. I don't know what that means. Is that black? When he was in court, was all eyes on him black? Only a judge can judge me black. Niggas, white crime or white. Oh, this was pretty divisive here, guys. Well, the correct answer is he was white. You got it, Karen.
I mean, the name, but I was thinking them drugs, though.
Yeah.
Them ain't no, I mean, not the niggas can't do them drugs, but them primarily ain't no nigga drugs.
Yeah, and many of you did miss it, guys. I'm surprised they even caught him, because you know he gets around.
Come on.
That's his picture there.
Oh.
Yeah. Suge Knight, like, okay, I demand to get out of prison right now, because you can see he's still alive. I didn't do it. All right, let's go to let's go to the last thing, guys. A man was arrested after being spotted walking around Teddington with a huge sword. Police arrested a man in his 60s who was found wandering a high street with a sword. The Metropolitan Police confirmed they arrested the man for carrying the weapon, thought to be an American Civil War cavalry saber.
Oh shit.
Well, which side though?
Good question.
Careful officers, they never tell you that side, right? Careful officers were able to remove the sharp antique weapon from the man and take him to a police station in West London. What was he doing in London with an American Civil War sword? The fuck? What's that got to do with anything over here?
Good question.
Damn, you know what I just thought about? You know how people have Nazi paraphernalia when they white supremacists? I wonder if it's people like not in America that has like old Confederate stuff. You know what I mean? Anyway. Something to think about. Police spokesperson said a man in his 60s was arrested on suspicion of possessing a firearm and a racially aggravated public order offense and taken away. Oh shit, I bet you that's what it is. He probably had a Confederate sword and he was being racist. Nigga, you in London, you don't have nothing to do with the Civil War. Mm-mm. But you do hate them niggers. He was subsequently released, of course, under investigation on Saturday, because hey, who gives a fuck? It's just a sword.
Right.
It's just a sword for a racist person. While sword enthusiasts are allowed to display genuine antique weapons at home, it's illegal to carry one in public. Locals thank police for removing a dangerous blade off the streets. How are people even able to purchase these items? What are they for? Decoration? Shocking. Thank you for attending and dealing with this. That's, yeah. Thanks to the police, because you know what he was saying going down the street.
Do you want the smoke, bruv?
Others wondered exactly what the man was planning on doing. Another local said, had he gotten separated from the other members of the 18th century cavalry? A third added, did you find his horse?
Did you find his horse? They got jokes.
Do you want the smoke, bruv?
All right, guys, that's it. We'll be back for our Walking Dead recap tomorrow. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.